Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
We'll get to the friction between college coaches that developed yesterday in just a moment, but I want to get to the friction between the Cleveland Browns and a former Cleveland Browns quarterback. Yes, we have more from the former QB, Johnny Manziel, who was on Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco's Nightcap podcast over the weekend, and talked about his time in Cleveland, referred to how he earlier in the week said he wasn't even the biggest bust from his year's draft. And Johnny, still not on great terms with the team and the city.
I sit here today and I go back and forth with, man, am I going to let Cleveland off the hook and just like let it go? Or am I going to sit here with hate and animosity in my heart for the rest of my life? And I finally sit here today and I'm like, but I think I'm going to be pissed at them and hate them forever. So it is what it is, man. No love for the Browns. I'm rooting for 0-16 seasons every season.
At the very, very least, he did take some ownership of his shortcomings of his career later on in the episode. But that's at the very, very least.
No, he never does. He never does. And, we got this sent to us by a bunch of people overnight. Listen, he does this about once a quarter. Once every few months, he's good at
like
this.
It.
And how long do I have to respond to an idiot and a loser before I just assume that he's just an idiot and a loser and I don't have to respond to him anymore? He's a cautionary tale at best. He is a punchline when he stands up there amongst his Heisman Trophy brethren. That's all he is to the general public, and that's all he ever will be to the general public. Is nothing but that, a loser and a cautionary tale. And flat out, I wish he was never drafted by the Cleveland Browns.
I really
wish he was never drafted here.
The Browns, we could say they're culpable in the demise of a lot of players. Although, Baker is the one. We've always said before Baker, like, who are all the guys that have flourished after Cleveland? Like, unless you're saying the Browns ruined all these guys. But in terms of Johnny Manziel, like, it's well documented. And in the documentary, that's how well documented it was, actually in a documentary, Johnny Manziel was admitting what a you-know-what up he was in Cleveland. What is it to blame the Browns? Were they supposed to physically take the alcohol out of his hands, or the $20 bills out of his hands, or, the wig out of his hands, the flying to Vegas, the hiding in various closets in Berea? Were they supposed to lock those closets?
There's only so many ways I can skin a cat, and there's only so many ways I can call a loser a loser. And that's all he is. He's a bad quarterback. He's a worse person. And the only time I ever think of that loser is when he goes out and starts ripping Cleveland. Other than that, he never crosses my mind. I got plenty of other things
now, what
that we have to deal with
on?
As a fan base.
That was on the Nightcap podcast. Shannon Sharp, Chad Johnson.
Okay.
And I'm sure in 3 months he'll go on another podcast and he'll rip the city of Cleveland and he'll rip Cleveland fans and he'll rip the organization. And I'll have to go out and pull the ripcord on myself again and go, loser, bad quarterback, bad guy, punchline, cautionary tale. Just play the hits.
Does it bother you to see that he's getting that kind of reaction from the people he's doing the podcast with?
No.
They're laughing and laughing?
No. Because if the Browns were a 14-2 football team, he would look like an idiot, and probably they wouldn't even be bringing him on. He looks like an idiot regardless, but he'd look like a more of an idiot if they were a 14-2 football team. But they're 3-14 last year. They're 3-14, 14-3 football team. Sorry, now you play 17 games. They were 3-14 last year. I told you earlier when we had the great big conversation about Shedeur Sanders fan base, that's how everybody outside of Cleveland sees us. That's how the people who he's with see us, and it's up to the Browns to change that. And that's part of the frustration I think a lot of fans had with the Browns, is that I got this moron who goes on television every chance he gets and says nothing but bad things about the city of Cleveland. And none of us did any of those things that you just said. Nobody handed him the booze. No one handed him the rolled-up bills. None of us handed him any of that stuff. At least I didn't. I know you didn't. So I'm sure, again, in 3 months, we'll do this all over again. He'll go on somebody else's podcast in an effort to get some numbers, and he'll say a bunch of stupid stuff that I have to sit there and respond to, even though it's the same response every time. I mean, eventually, I just have to stop paying attention to the idiot standing across the street, do I not? On we go. Another 3 months.
Speaking of losers, last night, the North Carolina Tar Heels 48-14 at the hands of the Horned Frogs of TCU, spoiling the debut at the college level of Bill Belichick for North Carolina. With all the stars in attendance and a lot of potential expectations, Belichick said there's a lot that needs to be worked on.
You know, we played competitively, but then just couldn't sustain it. So obviously we have a lot of work to do. We need to do a better job all the way around. Coaching, playing, just wasn't up to what it needs to be. And I know we're a lot better than that. So give TCU credit. They came in and did a good job. And they were clearly the better team. They deserved to win, and they did it decisively.
I'm not going to lie. I did kind of fall for it a little bit once he got that opening drive. Much like another Freddie Kitchens-led team, I thought the Carolina team was going to build upon it, and they just never did.
I got to show you something here that they can't see on YouTube or anybody because this is radio. It gets even worse. That's what was around him while he was giving that answer.
Well, the them getting routed speech.
Do you see what's in the press conference there?
I see a lot of balloons.
Yeah there's balloons. Stars and balloons.
Yeah, at halftime, you probably had a chance to eliminate all those and go with the bare minimum.
Even Pelissero called it tacky. And he's like this objective reporter, and he was calling it tacky. It was crazy.
Oh, it is.
Well, so
it is.
They were, 4-point dogs going into the game? So
around there, yeah.
You know, their home dogs, like, weren't necessarily supposed to win, but like you'd think, all right, if these two teams are whatever equal, or and it's not like a huge like 10-point spread, okay, the coaching, you know, we're gonna see maybe some evidence that coaching could make the difference. But I gotta be honest, man, they look like they had no talent on that football team. And then you're like, what have they been doing over the last 6 months in the recruiting battles? I know Keith texted us and said their recruiting numbers are similar.
You better get them kids out there then. You better get them out there.
I remember us going over this, you know, a few months ago, going, does he have any commitments whatsoever?
This is terrible. Just terrible. I mean, I know TCU will go out and probably get vets, pay the NIL. Oh, boy. This is not good. So you better figure it out. I mean, you got Charlotte and you got Richmond. If you lose to either one of those teams, like, if you get a split, you're a one-win team. Right now, I'm looking at you as a two-win
team. I mean, what did we think, you know, 4 months ago, 5 months ago?
I didn't think it was
going to
be this bad.
What did we think overall was going to be their record?
I thought they could go 7-5, 6-6, somewhere in there. I thought 8-4 would be a great year for them, year one. Right now, that was uncompetitive. And TCU is a good enough program, so maybe I'm giving there's too much credit to the rest of their schedule, but it's like, man, you're going to get rolled by marginal football teams here just because they are going to be better prepared than you. This is terrible. You do not have time. You had an entire winter, spring, fall. This is awful. What an awful start.
Speaking of coaching, we had a little bit of a spat in the public yesterday between two coaches that will be facing off this Saturday in Oklahoma State's Mike Gundy and Oregon's Dan Lanning. Now, Mike Gundy was on his radio show yesterday talking about the comparisons in funding between Oregon and Oklahoma State, putting around Oregon around $40 million, and believing that Oregon's budget should determine the programs they schedule outside of their conference play. Now, Dan Lanning responded to this in his Monday press conference.
I got a ton of respect for Coach Gundy. You know, ultimately, how blessed are we to be in a place that's invested in winning? If you want to be a top 10 team in college football, you better be invested in winning. And we spend to win. Some people save to have an excuse for why they don't, right? And ultimately, he's a great coach. They've done an unbelievable job. But I want to be a team that's competing at the highest level. And we're really fortunate to be in that situation. So I can't speak on their situation. I have no idea what they got in their pockets over there. I'm sure UT Martin maybe didn't have as much as them last week, and they played. So we'll let it play out.
I clown Dan Lanning after the Rose Bowl. I can't clown on there. That's a good clapback.
A clapback?
You said clapback, and now I can't really respond to it. That's weird.
I would just say that...
I'm nearly 40 years old. Am I saying clapback, Mitch?
No. You say dead ass.
I will never use that term.
Now I won't say it because you just said it, so congratulations. Now I will not say
Mitch,
that.
Mitch, let me give you a list of things to tell him to stop saying, so.
No, sure. Remember, there's a couple terms you guys were like, Ken, don't say that. And I was like, okay.
Do you have any other phrases, Mitch? I'll just say, like, obviously it pays to have talent, quite literally. You don't have much of a shot in college football if you don't have one of the most talented rosters. And how do you get the talented roster today? You got to pay them.
I love when coaches talk trash about each other because most of them hate each other. At that level, most of them really
despise each other. Yeah, I guess it gives it a built-in excuse for the coaches of the other programs. Like, well, yeah, they got way more money than me. So I'll give us a coaching edge. And, you know, Gundy's done a great job, I think, for that program.
That's why, like, there are guys who are buddies, but there's a lot of guys. They absolutely, that's what made, when Urban Meyer's 7-0 against Michigan, I know that there's some skeletons in that closet, and you could say a lot of things, but man, that guy sleeps just fine because he's 7-0, and he knows that Jim Harbaugh has stayed up an extra hour thinking of that before because he hates him. He hates him so much. Is that it for about last night?
It is.
Outstanding clapback from that guy.